Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along, it's the latest installment in the Pig Odyssey, the seemingly endless examination of our pig friends. We've had quite a few emails today, Sam, and I think we should possibly look at them
some
point. Maybe before that, though, we can examine a pig that I mentioned last week. I think somebody had maybe got in touch about. I can't quite remember. Apology if it was you. I'll tell you what, I'll put in the name of the pig into the... It was Angus Main, and it's all about a pig called Tirpitz. And Tirpitz thrived between 1915 and 1919. So we're looking the Great War, as it was wrongly called.
Because it was actually the Terrible War.
Terrible War. Really bad. Really bad war.
Yeah.
Tirpitz's claim to fame is that he survived the sinking of a German cruiser and defected to the British Navy. Now, I'm not sure why the Germans had a pig on board a cruiser, but let's see what it says in this article. It's a Guardian article from 2014. When the British guns began to fire, the Germans knew the game was up. SMS Dresden took on water. Its crew jumped ship. One of the last to abandon the vessel was a colossal pig launching herself. I've misgendered Tirpitz earlier there. So I need to apologise for that.
Yeah, don't do that again, mate.
Tirpitz just feels like a boy's name.
It's the sort of shit. It's the sort of shit that will eventually put paid to this podcast.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think probably running a book on various reasons why we'll eventually get cancelled.
Yeah,
and ruined.
Misgendering Tirpitz is odds on at the moment.
Yeah. You used a word in yesterday's episode that I edited out because I didn't think it was...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not going to say what it is.
Yeah, well, I'm really intrigued. It doesn't exist anymore. Really intrigued. Can't wait to find out off air.
I'll tell you at the end. Tirpitz, yeah, she. One of the last to abandon the vessel was a colossal pig launching herself into the water. 3 months early, earlier, the Dresden had been the only German cruiser to escape the Battle of the Falklands. Fucking hell. What? World War One was going on in the Falklands? Surely not. Fleeing south, round Cape Horn, into the Pacific, the Dresden made it to Robinson Crusoe Island in the San Fernandez Archipelago of Chile. And HMS Glasgow and HMS Kent caught up with Dresden on the 14th of March 1915. Forced into unconditional surrender, the Germans scuttled their own ship to avoid being captured by the Allies. And the British seamen went ashore to round up the shipwrecked survivors. Others clambered to recover booty from the water. And one medical officer said, "We salvaged a dinghy, some oars, a boat hook, buoys, six chairs, hammocks, brooms." Oh, brooms. Objects of interest.
Yeah.
Fenders? What? Bumpers from American cars?
Yeah, metal bumpers.
and even a cask of red wine undamaged by its immersion in the sea. When are we going to get to the pig?
Get to the pigs.
The pig was winched on deck and become prized as the ship's living mascot. The men of HMS Glasgow took delight in naming her after the head of the German Navy, Admiral Alfred von Tirpitz, and awarded her the German military decoration, the Iron Cross, for staying with her ship to the last. So Tirpitz was the last man stroke woman off the ship.
Right.
The rest of the Germans had all fucking fled. Yeah. And none of them gave a shit about Tirpitz. They just left her there.
Yeah, well, pigs are very brave animals, aren't they? Unlike Germans. Edit that out, mate. Edit that out.
No, I'll leave that here. That's fine.
Okay. Podcaster cancelled for claiming, in quote marks, Germans are not brave.
Mental health advocate in Germany.
Yeah. German German coward slur.
Tirpitz led a charmed life on board before taking up residence at the Royal Navy's training facility on Whale Island in Portsmouth Harbour in 1916. I don't know where this is. Whale Island? Is that Portsmouth Harbour as in Portsmouth? Or is that just another place in America?
Or it might be after in the Falkland. Falklands have quite a few places that are British names.
God. Don't know, but she lived there with chickens, ducks, geese, and even there was a wallaby paddock as well. And eventually, unfortunately, Tirpitz became a nuisance. She broke down the chicken runs to raid their food, and radical action was required. The Whale Island authorities bundled Tirpitz into a van. It took 10 men to bundle her into a van, apparently, and returned her to the former commander of HMS Glasgow. Oh, that's nice. Here you go, sir. Is that pig you gave us? We're sick of her.
Well, you know what? That's. Have you ever seen the play or film War Horse?
No, but yeah, it's good.
It's fucking bananas, mate. I went to see it.
Got a robot horse in it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's got a robot horse. That's the first thing you need to know about it. Like, my mother-in-law got us tickets once. Me and the missus as like a Christmas present.
And yeah, it's got a robot horse.
When
it.
I opened it, I thought, oh, fucking theatre tickets, fuck. This is all I need, right? Day out, a fucking night out in town, that's going to cost me.
Up the West End.
Up the West End. The missus will probably expect some dinner first, I suppose. Then you got the drinks and the popcorn. If we end up in a cab, miss the last train, fucking hell. This is the sort of present that costs me money. And for
it'll
what?
Be ruined.
See a couple of ponces prancing about on the stage while I have to sit for 2 hours in an uncomfortable seat with no leg room.
Pretending to do stuff.
Yeah. But then she reveals, I thought you might like this one because it's got a robot horse. That's the sort of thing you're into, isn't it, you daft cunt?
Punch the air.
Fucking hell. A robot horse live in front of me. Yeah, I'll go and see it. Well, it's fucking mad. And it's a bit like this pig story you're telling, because this horse, it's a long time ago I saw this, so forgive me if I get the details wrong, but this horse, it's like, one minute it's being used in the First World War by the Germans, then it's being, no, first it's working for, first it's in a fucking, just in the countryside, mind its own business, just being a horse, horsing about.
Yeah, horsing about, right, yeah.
And it's got some kid who's its mate, and next thing, they turn out and they go, listen, there's a war broken out. We're going to need all you cunts to come out and chip in. And he sat there like thinking, well, bad luck if you're a human. They won't be wanting horses, though. What good is a horse in a trench? Then suddenly they've said, we fucking do. You're coming too, cunt. Right? So he's fucking shipped over to the trenches and he's pulling stuff around and fucking people are riding around on him. Then there's a massive tear-up and in the fucking... In the aftermath, the Germans end up thinking, oh, we'll have him, right? Because, I don't know, his British soldier masters have been shot. So the Germans take him. So he ends up being forced to switch sides. He's working for the Germans for a while. But then in the end, spoiler alert, I think he goes back to being British. But in many ways, it sort of, you know, tells you how German, English, doesn't make a difference. We're all humans, unless, of course, we're a horse. and a robot horse in particular. But there's a funny German geezer who becomes his mate, a German soldier, and he goes like this. Yeah, the horse in War Horse is called Joey. Yeah. Which, of course, was used as a playground insult in the 80s for reasons we won't go into.
Yeah.
And the German guy, in a version I saw on stage, kept, like, stroking his mane and going, oh, yes, Joey. Oh, yes, Joey. You are such a good, proud horse, Joey. Right? And this tickled me so much that to this day, I sometimes, whilst walking around the house to amuse myself and sort of amuse slash irritate my wife, suddenly start going, oh, yes, Joey. Good, Joey. And just like stroking the cat or the dog while I say, oh, yes, Joey. And she's like, fucking stop it. It creeps me out. But yeah, it's a weird thing. But they should make it about this pig because it sounds like the same sort of vibe being passed from pillar to post. My favourite statue in London is the memorial on Park Lane. And it just says, you must have seen it, says, Animals at War. It's a tribute to Animals at War. And it's a sort of like a, it's kind of a statue like slash mural. It's like a mural made of stone. And it's got all these animals. Dog, I think there's an elephant there. A rat, maybe a cat. I don't know. Although I wouldn't fucking. A cat would be the last fucking animal I'd ask for help in a war, right? Because those cunts would just go off and do whatever they wanted. They'd lose interest in the mission, just fuck off. But it just says in the middle of all these animals, it says Animals at War, and then do you know what it says underneath? It says they had no choice.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course they didn't.
I know, and that's really, you know, I mean, it's very poignant. It's very poignant. Every time I go past it, I think, yeah, those poor cunts didn't have a choice. One minute they're just living their best lives as animals, you know, being a horse or a pig or whatever. And next minute
scampering around.
You are going to fight. The humans have had a massive disagreement. And like, if you're a pig or whatever, you're like, well, that's the humans' fucking problem. That's humans for you. That's fucking humans for you. They're fucking busy. They are busy cunts. The human race is absurd. We animals, we have very simple needs and requirements. We wake up. We need food. We need water. We occasionally need to fornicate.
Roll about in the mud for a bit.
Only occasionally. We're not thinking about it non-stop like some humans I could mention.
Not every 7 seconds, like the fellas.
Like some humans I could mention, such as... well, I won't mention them. David Walliams.
Russell Brand. Yeah, I've said it.
They're fanny obsessed, not us animals. We do it when we need to. In fact, we have special designated seasons where it happens, which is very straightforward. We don't have a system of currency or exchange or anything like that. We effectively, when we live wild, we just fight, we eat what we can find. And our lives are very simple. It doesn't surprise me at all that the fucking humans have fallen out and want to fight each other about it. Because they've created so many extra fucking things for themselves to worry about. Houses, money, fanny, fucking hell. Just fucking calm it down, you busy cunts. In conclusion, I want no part of this disagreement. That's a human disagreement, and I will not be involved. I'm stopping here in my field. What? You're making me go to war to fight in the human war. I have got no skin in this game.
It's
just
not
a pig.
A disagreement. There's guns and bombs and tanks.
So hang on a minute. Hang on. Let's rewind. You disagreed. Two sets of humans have disagreed because they live in different bits of different fields, effectively, and they've disagreed over who should have one particular part of the field, and now they're shooting each other with bullets and dropping bombs on each other over it. Fuck that. Classic human shit. Count me out. What good am I to you anyway? I'm a fucking pig. What am I going to do? Smuggle? Oh, you do want me to smuggle stuff. Right. Fucking hell. I tell you what I won't do. I met a rat once, and he was in the Crimean War, and he told me that he had pals, relatives, who they would fill with explosives, and it was a suicide mission. They had to run into enemy camps, and then they'd just blow up. Yeah, exploding rats. And I tell you, I'm not fucking doing that, not for any cunt.
He told me about it because his bomb hadn't gone off. He was lucky.
So he
set it up wrong.
In the end, it was wired. It was wired wrong. So in the end, he managed to get home to Britain. And on the boat home, he shat it out. He shat the bomb out. Came out his ass, and he actually kept it. He's kept it. He showed it to me. And I tell you what, never mind the exploding. For me, the worst bit, because once it explodes, you're dead. You know, you're dead in seconds. You don't know about it. The bad bit is having the whole thing rammed up your fucking arsehole in the first place.
And then having to pass it out again. It was massive.
He said to me at one point, he said, I know it sounds funny, but in a way, I would have rather it blown up and I'd have just died.
Yeah.
Because them were the lucky ones. The unlucky ones were the ones where the bombs didn't go off, because then you had to shit it out. And I don't know if you've ever shat out an explosive device, but it is not a pleasant experience.
He says, now I know what it's like for the lasses when they give birth, and I will not take that lightly again when they're complaining about it.
I tell you what, it is unpleasant, and that is an understatement. So let's just say I've heard what you make animals do at war, and I'm not interested in having a grenade or a rocket shoved up my pig arsehole.
But if there's a statue to be had out of it, then I don't know, I might consider it.
That's different.
If I'm going to be immortalised in concrete in the middle of London.
That's different, but I'd rather do something more heroic than a fucking bomb up the arse, parachute me out of a plane into the middle of a load of German pigs and have me fucking fight them, trotter to trotter. I'll give that a go. That sounds exciting. But none of this other crap. I'm not having a... Nothing up my bum.
Strap some paperwork to me back and I'll scuttle across Whitehall, deliver it from one office to another.
Yeah, if the humans haven't got the bollocks to do it, which wouldn't surprise me at all, because half of them are cowards, from what I've seen.
Warhorse, to me, feels like it's a niche subject that I love, which is cultural things where the final line should be incorporate the title. Where some of the people, the protagonists in it, all get around and say, yes, it truly was a war horse.
And then they choose that for the title, yeah.
Because, like, the Good Life, I'm pretty sure at the end of The Good Life, the last episode, Tom and Barbara get burgled, and the burglars have smashed the house up and sprayed graffiti all over the walls, and they decide that they were going to go back to civilian life,
straight,
but then
life.
They decide to stick with it. And I think the four of them are stood around and they just say something like, yes, it really is a good life.
And then they all throw their heads back in laughter and it freeze frames.
Yeah, I could be wrong, because there's a David Bowie video for The Stars Are Out Tonight, which is, I think he's with, I've forgotten who he's in it with. And he says, it's supposed to be his wife in it, and they say something like, this really is a good life. Yes, we have a good life. So I might have confused those two things, but I also might have confused it with the last episode of Dad's Army, Sam, where...
We truly are a Dad's Army.
Exactly, because at the end of it, they've all got glasses in their hands. They're standing on manoeuvres or something, but they've all got a glass from a hip flask or something, and they're talking about... I think it's at the end of the war. They're talking about things they've done and that, and they break the fourth wall. And they turn to the cameras and they raise a glass to the actual Home Guard who fought didn't fight, but, you know, who operated in the war.
Yeah.
And, like, it's that again. I just feel as though they should have just said, we really were a Dad's Army.
Yeah, but you know what's funny about that? How many series were there of Dad's Army?
It was about nine, I think, nine or ten.
Series. For the last fucking nine series, right, dozens of episodes, we have basically been ripping the shit and out of the Home Guard and denigrating their reputation, their contribution by portraying them as a ragtag band of fucking imbeciles and incompetents, right?
And becoming immeasurably rich on the back of it.
We have totally, it has been a non-stop, wildly negative portrayal of what you did. And then in the last second of the last episode, we turned around and went, well done, chaps. Well done. See ya.
You might be all dead now anyway, but well done.
Let's raise a fucking glass to you silly cunts that we've been ripping the shit out. No one will ever take the Home Guard seriously, ever. No one can ever turn up and go, oh, I was in the Home Guard, or my granddad was in the Home Guard, right? They can never say that. and without people just straight away thinking, oh, right. Oh. So he was like fucking Sergeant Jones working in the fucking butcher shouting, don't panic, right? That or one of those cunts. And so it's all very well then breaking the fourth wall at the end, but they know what they did. they know what they fucking did. And, you know, listen, it's a great show. It's very funny. But it's disingenuous of them to raise a glass to the Home Guard at the end. It really is.
But, yeah, they should have just ended it with that line. But it really was a dad's army. Thank you very much.
Like in Porridge, when he gets released in the last episode, he goes, I really did do my... And then he turns the camera and points, Elvis style. Porridge.
Porridge. Or at the end of whatever happened to the Likely Lads. They put their arms around each other, look at the camera and goes, that's what happened to the Likely Lads.
And that is what happened to the Likely Lads. At the end of Sorry, I think Ronnie Corbett breaks the fourth wall, doesn't he, and says, sorry. And
sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that's been five series and the last two were very, very mediocre. Sorry.
In EastEnders, I wish they ended every episode like that. Or no, at the end of each week. EastEnders is on 5 days a week now, right? Is that
something like
is that the way it works? On the Friday episode, they should always have, just another week in the life of in the life of us EastEnders.
All of them in the pub. EastEnders.
Yeah, they all say it once, and there's a drone shot, and it kind of reverses away further and further into the sky, and they slowly just become dots. And in the end, it orbits Earth, and all you can see is the Earth turning.
There's so many things that
and they
could
do
end
that,
like that
every
like
Friday.
Tom Cruise turns the camera at the end of it. Really was a Mission Impossible.
Looks like this mission.
Seven.
Oh, we've done it. We saved the president. Looks like this mission wasn't so impossible after all. Ta-ra for now. I also think it'd be good if Tom Cruise always said ta-ra for now at the end of each Mission Impossible, because that implies that it's like a little nod to there will be another one in the series. Yeah. Don't worry. Like James Bond used to have, James Bond will return in.
Yeah, they should like have that. Yeah. Then you haven't got to sit through the credits like the Marvel films.
Yeah,
to ta-ra see what's
for
call
now.
At the end.
And God bless. Wink.
Oh, like you sit through the Marvel credits and then at the end some obscure character that's been in one film fucking
he
9 years
fucking
ago
turns up.
Just peeps around a wall and goes, it's me. Who's going to be the next one?
It's me, Mr. Cheeky. The new character. They've run out of other characters. I was in one comic in 1982 that's been dug up out of the... It was discontinued after one issue because it was that bad. But... they've run out of other things, so they've dug me out of the archives and they've decided to make it into a film. I will be played by, let's see now, Bill Murray.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
Just to finish off the story of Tirpitz, though, it was 10 men who bundled Tirpitz into a van to return the pig to the custody of Captain John Luce, former commander of HMS Glasgow. It is difficult to be sure what Luce felt about this reunion. Well, I could pretty much have a guess. A short article in the Times in 1917 gives a clue, which says, on the instruction of Commodore Luce, he'd become a Commodore by then, the animal will be offered for sale for the benefit of the British Red Cross. So he's selling this fucking massive disruptive pig under the guise of charity, which of course is a familiar thing of people who do terrible deeds and then just pretend it's all about the charity. The Tirpitz was sold along with a couple of properties on the estate of Earl of Shrewsbury. Yeah, this pig is a fucking nightmare, but we're going to chuck a couple of houses in as well. But you have to keep the pig.
This fucking pig, when's it going to die?
I just remembered I showed you the picture of it. Its head mounted on that shield.
Last week
on that wooden shield.
Yeah, that wasn't pleasant.
Tirpitz is said to have raised 400 guineas, which is around £20,000 in today's money. But then it's a bit of a mystery what happened after that. She may have been auctioned a couple more times, it says here, before her life came to an end in 1919. And her head was stuffed, mounted and donated to the Imperial War Museum in London, and which I guess is still there by the looks of it. So that's a good reason to go along the Imperial War Museum, which I've never been to before. I was wanting to go to the Old Bailey at one point, but maybe I'll go to the Imperial War Museum instead.
They're doing Old
Bailey tours, Sam, over the summer.
I went for jury service at the Old Bailey.
Did you?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, you don't fuck about, do you, for jury service?
I know, it was amazing. Well, I didn't get selected. What happened was I was there for 2 days. Nah. Have you ever done jury service? You just sit around.
Nah.
You sit around waiting to be selected. So they sent me to the Old Bailey, and I was just sitting around reading my book. And you don't know whether you're going to get called. They just have loads of potential jurors there on standby. And then I got called, right? And we went into the court, and there's like 20 of us, right? And
the early stages of the X Factor.
Yeah, it was like backstage that. It was like that. It was pre-boot camp.
Yeah.
The judge said to me, "Are you ready?" "I'm ready."
"I'm ready."
"Whenever you're ready." "I'm ready."
"I'm ready."
"Are you ready?" "I'm ready."
"I'm ready."
And in the end, the judge was like, "Rah, rah, rah, rah. This is ridiculous. We're getting nowhere. Go home, you fool, you bloody imbecile. You're not fit to be a juror. You're not fit to be anything." At the time, I was editor of Heat, and the bosses were really horrid. My bosses. Yeah. At Heat, they were horrid about everything. So when I said, like,
horrid people.
I got to go on jury service, they were like, I mean, not all of them were horrid, but the ones that I was dealing with at this time, they were like, "Oh, you need to get out of that." And I was like, "Well, I can't, it's fucking jury service."
It doesn't work like that.
And they were like, "Do you know what they said?" They said, "Well, you need to tell them that you're the editor of Heat magazine." And I said, "Listen, this is jury service at the fucking Old Bailey. This could be fucking anything. They don't give a fuck." I said, "Some judges, no, they'll know. Speak to our company lawyer and they'll advise you on a letter to write to get out of it, right?"
Okay.
The letter got me fucking nowhere. And they were so fucked off because I was potentially out for 3 weeks. And they were holding it against me. "This is not good. This doesn't reflect well on you."
"We'll
I mean,
have to shut the publication down for 3 weeks."
Yeah, they were like, "This isn't good. This doesn't reflect well on you." I said, "Well, what do you want me to fucking do? This is jury service. This is the fucking law we're dealing with here. They don't care about this fucking..." I mean, it probably didn't serve me well that I used to say things like "this fucking stupid magazine," which I used to say all the time. And it was like, "Yeah, you're the one getting paid loads of money to run it, you silly cunt. You can't be going around saying things like that."
"Yeah, but you're the ones that give me the job, you fucking idiot."
"Yeah, I like it." They said, "Don't talk about it like that." And I was like, "Hey, it's my fucking magazine. I can say what I want about it, right?" It is fucking stupid. Anyway, I said, "Look, I'm fucking going." So in the end, I went. And after a few days of sitting around in the Old Bailey, they go, "Right, you're called." And I go into this courtroom and the judges sit there in his big long hat, as they say in Withnail and I. "Don't you mean a wig?" "No, man. This was more like a big long hat." Right. So the judges sat there in his long white hat. And then they we're all stood in some jury box, right? And then they call in the fucking defendants. And all the and there's fucking loads of them. There's 10 geezers. And all of these geezers look proper naughty, right?
Fucking hell.
I mean, I'm not easily scared. I thought, if one of them jump out of the box, I might have to fucking step forward and take care of these cunts. But I was looking at them thinking, I don't fancy this. There's 10 of them. And none of these jurors look like they're going to back me up, right? And they were all dressed the same. And that's when I realised, well, what I found out was, this was regarding an incident that had taken place inside of a prison. And all of the people on trial were current prisoners.
They were already guilty of other stuff.
Yeah. And then the judge started asking these sort of vague questions to filter us out. So he was like, put your hand up if any of you are in or ever have been in the old bill. Right? Mm. I was like, fucking as if. Right? Then they were like, do you have any relatives, like, who have been in the old bill? A couple put their hand up. He goes, right, you can fuck off. And then there was a couple of, have you ever been in the prison service? Do you know anyone who's in the prison service? So I, being Britain's top journalist, started piecing it together, and I thought, these cunts have done over a prison warden, and that's what they're on trial for. And so I thought about lying and go, how about my old dad's in the prison service? But I thought, no, I better not lie, I'm in the Old Bailey. Right? But then...
they got lie detectors everywhere.
At the end, they were like, if you've got any reason why you think, then they would say there was like, I don't know, 15 of us left. Have you got any reason why you cannot be on this jury?
Is anyone on the editorial staff of a celebrity gossip magazine?
One of the leading celebrity claptrap tittle tattle periodicals. Because this country cannot go times are tough enough without the public being expected to live without their tittle-tattle.
Also, you probably don't have the moral backbone required to look at this case.
So I was thinking, because they'd really put me under a lot of pressure, my bosses. They'd said, you've got to fucking get out of it and tell them that you run a big business and that you're an essential employee and blah, blah, blah. Right? And that was the other thing I was thinking, because I was thinking to myself, this magazine will fucking run itself. They might even find it easier without me here. But luckily I didn't say that because it would have been like I was talking myself out of a job.
Yeah,
I was like, I just get in the way most days. Which was true. Because I was always coming up with ideas. And like, to be honest, when you're working on a weekly magazine, it's much safer to just like have a fucking set template and just keep it going like a machine every week with very minimal variation. And then just only think about changing the cover. That's the only. That's really the way to do it.
But it's like this podcast, really. I'd
come in with too many ideas. Why don't we do this? Yeah. Why don't we change that section? I've had an idea. Let's change do an article font. On this, right? And they were just like, "Oh fucking hell, here he comes, fucking Johnny Ideas, slowing everything down, changing shit." Fucking hell. So it's like, thank God. My team were probably like, thank God.
We've got a good fucking scam going here, Delaney.
It was like that. And they were like, and they were probably right, really. I mean, I was just like, look, if I'm here, I might as well do something. I'm not just going to fucking sit here, like, signing off fucking pages and then going home. But maybe I should. Maybe now, if I had a job like that, I'd be more like that because I'm a bit more just rest. But I think my team are probably like, the cunt's got 3 weeks at the Old Bailey. Thank fuck for that. We can fucking get this magazine out on time for a change. And the judge has gone, if you have a reason, put your hand up now. So I'm thinking, I'm going to do it. They've briefed me what I should say. I'm going to do it. But before I can put my hand up, some woman puts her hand up. And she tells some sob story about how she cares. She's a single parent. She cares for all these children. The children, can't, you know, there is no way she can afford childcare. She has no support network to help her. She also has a part-time job to pay the bills. Without that, blah, 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 blah. And she's crying. She's desperate. She's like, this is like literally fucked everything for me. And the judge is pretty harsh on her. He doesn't just go, fair enough. He pushes back and he goes, well, hang on a minute. Why can't you apply for this sort of a grant? And why can't you send them to after-school things? And he knows everything about the options because he's heard every excuse in the book, right? And he's pushing back on her and she's practically sobbing. And it's really horrible. And in the end, he goes, approach the fucking bench or whatever, right? So she walks over and they have a little confab. And in the end, she goes, thank you very much. And he lets her go, right? And I was like, fucking hell, that was like pulling teeth. And she had a really, I really believed her story, and it was good.
Yeah.
And at that stage, you go, right, anyone else? And of course, he's like, I'm not fucking following that. And he really looked at it like that. He was like someone in a pub who'd just knocked out
who else wants some?
Yeah, the biggest bloke. And then he looked at the rest of them and go, anyone else fancy their fucking chances? And I've gone, I'm not putting my hand up. Said, are you familiar with Heat magazine? It was one of the best sellers in the whole country. And I'm the boss of it. Can you let me go? I don't want to be involved in the criminal justice system.
Will Young has just announced a new UK tour and I need to cover it.
It's an emergency, Your Honour. And I thought, fuck that. I kept my hand down. And then he goes, right, in that case, I will read 12 names now. If you are not one of those names, fuck off. And I'm like, I don't know how I felt, because I felt like at work they were almost like saying, we're going to look really dimly upon you if you do this service, even though it was a legal obligation. Like, there was no way out of it. But they were really guilt-tripping me. And also, on the other hand, I was like, I quite fancy fucking doing this Tron. It looks like quite a moody one. There's fucking 10 fucking well-moody geezers on trial. This is going to be a juicy case. Although, I don't want to belittle it, because I do know some people have gone on jury service and it has actually been quite traumatising, so I don't want to make a joke.
If there is violence
or abuse or anything like that, it is actually pretty disturbing, so I don't want to sort of go, oh, yeah. So, but I was, you know, obviously you're curious, though, right?
We've both said that we easily spend time in an open prison.
Yeah.
We'd do that. No problem.
We'd do that as a series of deep dives. If someone could give us access to Ford Open Prison. Have you been in an open prison? If you're a listener and you've been in an open prison, I'd love to hear about it. Email us. But you do it anonymously. Anonymously, because we'd like to know what it's like.
If you work in one, you can get us in.
Yeah.
For 24 hours.
24 hours in open prison.
It's okay, we're podcasters, we're not really in here.
We're coming to podcast. Can we have a boiler suit?
So I guess he didn't get read out.
He didn't read, and I just went back. So that was my 2-3 days in the Old Bailey.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't know how we got onto that, but it was
the Imperial War Museum, which I've been to, and in actual fact, that is where I heard about the exploding rats. Because when you go there, if either of us went to the Imperial War Museum, it's the sort of place that you come... I mean, I went years before we started this podcast, but it's the sort of place you come back with, for this podcast, like 20 episodes worth of content. Because, like, exploding rats, loads of spy shit, like an unbelievable amount of an old spy shit where it was still, like, mechanical. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, cool spy shit.
It was like weird things that they did, like spies in the First World War, you know, literally rolled it up, notes in and stuff. It's a brilliant thing. It's brilliant.
Write that down. Go there. But yeah, I was going to say the Old Bailey, you can go and sit in the public gallery anytime. But they're also doing tours on Saturdays when it's not sitting, and you can go everywhere in all the courts and have a proper mooch about. They're doing that over the summer.
Yeah. So,
might be something to do if you're bored, if you're near London or in London.
Yeah.
Finally, just the end of Tirpitz. Tirpitz's head obviously was mounted on that wooden thing, and the Duke of Portland turned a couple of Tirpitz's trotters into the handles of a carvery set.
Disgusting.
Sheffield steel sunk into a brass plate attached to the pig's cloven hooves.
Mm.
So there you go. And they are also, I believe, in the Imperial War Museum now.
I just think blokes who do that are mental. They're like, on such power trips, they want to, like, I want to prove my mastery over other species. It's like, this are you fucking insane? These creatures have got no fucking problem with you. And no one thinks you're hard for fucking cutting off a pig's trotters and turning them into cutlery. You're just a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, but then again, if you've risen up to the heights of military, then there's something not right with you anyway.
You've got to be a weirdo in the first place, yeah.
All right, well, that's Tirpitz then. We didn't get round to the mailbag, but there's plenty of pig-related stuff, and we'll have a bit of a look at that next week. We might give the Pig Odyssey a rest and bring it back. We've never brought an Odyssey back before.
Could do.
That could be the first one that we ever do, but we'll see. We'll do some more next week, though. Thank you for listening, and...
Oink, oink!